Thank you for listening to this audio message of Refuge Church. Our mission is to display and declare the good news of Jesus to individuals near and far. We hope this message encourages you. To learn more about Refuge Church, visit us online at refugenc.org.
Everyone else, if you will open your copy of God's Word to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 15 through 20 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "He," that's Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So let's go before him in prayer and ask him for his help as we learn from it today. Father, we come before you with a treasure in our hands, your very word. It's your word that you inspired, that you moved people like your servant Paul to think about and write and to, in this case, teach the church more about you and specifically more about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would do the same in our hearts this morning. Help me, Father, to speak only your word and your truth. Help me and your people before you this morning to have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that can be molded and shaped by the person of Jesus this morning. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. We love you. Amen. Jesus is the sovereign ruler and king over the entire cosmos. His supremacy, his glory reigns. That is what lies in front of us in this passage this morning. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul lays out eight superlatives. Eight times he uses the word all or everything to leave us no doubt. Everything and everyone is subject to the supremacy of Jesus. So let's dive right into that and see his supremacy on display before us. So we'll see this in two main points. The first one, in verses 15 through 17, we see the supremacy of Jesus in creation. And then number two, in verses 18 through 20, we see the supremacy of Jesus in the church. So let's jump in on number one, the supremacy of Jesus in creation. Look there in verse 15 again. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. So Paul's doing two things in this opening line. First, he is showing us that Jesus is fully divine. He's fully God. The writer of Hebrews says something along the same lines in chapter 1, verse 3, where he says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. The scriptures, and Paul jumps in with all the other scriptures, teach us that Jesus is fully God. But secondly, he also shows us that Jesus is fully human. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, we get this beautiful description of what sets humans apart in creation. God says, let us make humans in our image. And so that is what he has done. We are made in his image. Humans from the beginning were created to image God, to reflect God out to one another, to the world. But from Adam and Eve to everyone in this room this morning, myself included, we failed to do that. We failed miserably to reflect the image of God to one another. Not so with Jesus. He is the image of God. He's the perfect image of God. So when we say that Jesus is fully human, we're not just simply talking about his physical body. Jesus is the fullest, most truly human being that ever lived on this earth. Why? Because he perfectly imaged the invisible God to us. And on that note of God being invisible, Paul would agree with John in what he wrote in chapter 1, verse 18 of his gospel. No one has ever seen God. He's invisible. We can understand that. The only God who is at the Father's side, that being Jesus, he has made him known. So in every way, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Let's continue reading. The next phrase here, the firstborn of all creation. It's vitally important that we understand Paul is not saying here that Jesus is the first person or first thing to be created. That misinterpretation has led to many a heresy, many erroneous beliefs. Paul's using this phrase here, and he's going to use it again later in the passage to show us that Jesus has the rights and the privileges just like that of a firstborn son in that culture, particularly a firstborn son who is heir to the throne. He is above, exalted above all of that. So that's what Paul is going for here. He wants us to see that Jesus has sovereign rule over all creation. He has every right, every privilege to rule it. Now, how does he make that claim? Because those are pretty bold claims, right? Someone wants to come up to you and say, I have the right, I have the privilege to rule over you. Well, we want to know, how do you have that right? Well, let's keep reading. Paul says that for by him, by Jesus, all things were created. So John 1:3 tells us that all things were made through Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. Ponder that for a minute. You and I do not exist this morning apart from creation by Jesus. There is not one thing, small or great, in this room, in this city, in this country, on this planet, in this solar system, in this galaxy, as far as you can go out, all of it exists because of creation by Jesus. And Paul helps us ponder that further with a few of his qualifiers in these verses. So we see that all things were created by him in heaven and on earth. Upload Genesis 1 to your brain. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we see in that when God created all of that, in that seven-day creation story, he spoke it in existence, it was all created by Jesus. Visible and invisible. There is creation that we can see and perceive. There is creation that we cannot see. We do not perceive it all the time. We look at all that, or we see the truth here, and we can know that it's all real, and all of creation, whether we see it or not, contains active participation in it. And all of it, whether we see it or not, is created by Jesus. Last phrase here, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. There are powers in this cosmos, both for good and for evil. There are earthly dominions, earthly rulers. There are spiritual dominions, spiritual rulers. At any moment of our lives, any of them feel like they're the ones in control. This verse tells us all of them exist by God's creation, by Jesus. He is supreme over all of them. You cannot find a corner of the universe that exists apart from creation by Jesus. But Paul doesn't stop there. He keeps going in verse 16. He says, all things were created through him and for him. So he starts with by Jesus, but he doesn't stop with that. It wasn't like the Father said, hey, I'm going to make the heavens and the earth. Is that okay? And he's run it by him. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. No, Paul wants to deepen our understanding here. He says it was all made through him. That when God spoke it all into being, it was done through the person of Jesus. Now, what does that mean practically for us? It means he is the source of all life, all existence. Paul goes further to say it all exists for Jesus. So he's not just the means, and he's not just the source at the beginning. He's also the goal. He's the reason. He's the purpose at the end of every creature and every created thing. By him, through him, for him, in every way, from beginning to end, creation exists because of, by means of, and for the glory of Jesus. Let's keep reading here. Verse 17. And he is before all things. So John chapter 1, I feel like Paul and John, if they hung out at all, they would be really good friends. They would have really shared their notes together. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God. Again, affirmation of the deity of Jesus. So Jesus is before all things in terms of time. He's the uncaused cause. But he is also before all things in place. There are none that outrank Jesus. They don't outrank him in significance, in his beauty, in his power, in his glory, in his perfection. And Paul says here in verse 17, to finish out this verse, in him all things hold together. The Creator Jesus is not a detached Jesus. He didn't wind up creation like a clock or a toy and just let it tick away however it might. Right here, right now, Jesus holds all things together. There are atoms and molecules and cells that are bumping around and swirling around and that make up our bodies. And Jesus holds all of it together. There are trees rooted in the earth, mountains that are reaching up towards the sky, the oceans churning. And Jesus holds all of that together. We're flying right now around this nuclear furnace called a sun, and we're doing that at thousands of miles per hour, along with multiple other planets and other things in our solar system. Jesus is holding all of this together. In our Milky Way galaxy that is full of billions and billions of stars, it itself is swirling through space along with billions and billions of other galaxies. and Jesus is powerfully holding every part of it, all of his creation together. Everything and everyone came into existence and continues its existence because Jesus holds all things together. So let's pause for a minute, and if I may use the word, be gobsmacked at what is before us in this text, at the supremacy of Jesus in creation. He's the true king. He's the real sovereign over everything we see and everything we can, and it is all subject to his rule. You and I are subject to his rule this morning. And that should be enough for us to bow our trembling knees before him, especially because we are rebellious sinners who act and live like we're the ones in control, that we are the ones who should rule. Praise be to Jesus that his supremacy does not extend only to his rights and privileges over all creation. His supremacy reigns in his steadfast love and faithfulness to those who humble themselves before him and cast themselves upon his mercy. And that's where we see our second point this morning, the supremacy of Jesus in the church. Look at verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. It can be really easy to miss this when you're just reading through it, but Paul turns our attention from this cosmic supremacy to this very intimate supremacy. Jesus is the king of a people called the church. He's the head, we are the body. And that's a very incredible, intimate connection, all right? Our heads are so intricately woven into our bodies and the functions of our bodies that if you remove the head, the body cannot survive. So the Lord of all creation has tied himself to us as our head. He's done that to move us, to shape us, and to energize us. But how does this intimacy occur? Because unlike the rulers of this world, the sovereign king, the supreme king, he's also the humble king. He emptied himself and came to earth as one of us. Let's keep reading in verse 18. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, if Jesus, and what Paul's going at here, if Jesus is there in the beginning of creation, it's all done by him, through him, all things were created that way. What Paul is declaring here is that Jesus is also the beginning of a new creation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. How does Jesus bring about new creation? He rose from the dead. That's a statement. For 40 days after he rose from the dead, men and women saw the risen Jesus. They saw this living, walking, talking piece of new creation. And just as he holds the rights and the privileges over the old creation, he, being the firstborn, being the exalted one, holds the rights and the privileges over the new creation. And if he is the beginning of the new creation, that means there's more new creation to come. The church, his body, will be raised from the dead with Jesus as our king of our resurrected lives and king over the new creation. That is what the story of the scriptures tells us is the end of the story. Look back again in verse 18. In all of that, he's done all of that, that in everything he might be preeminent. The resurrection of Jesus shows us that whether in the old creation or in the new creation, his glory and his supremacy know no bounds. He reigns. He's king. He's supreme. Look in verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So Paul once again is highlighting for us the deity of Jesus the King. So if you know the story, when Jesus went to the Jordan River with John the Baptist and John baptized him, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of the Father cries out, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." In Jesus, Paul says, we find all the fullness of God dwelling. It pleases him to do so. And Jesus himself came and dwelled with us. So what's the conclusion of that theological math formula? All the fullness of God on high has made himself intimate with us in the person of his Son, Jesus, with whom he was pleased to dwell. Let's continue in verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. Why did Jesus become intimate with us? Because we were lost. Because we were apart from God with no hope in the world. We were broken off from him because of our rebellious sin. And this creation groans under the weight of it, and it aches to be reconciled to its creator. The supremacy of Jesus reigns in his power to make whole what was broken, to bring it together, to reconcile any sinner, no matter how far away they may be, and to redeem an old creation under sin and make it new. He can heal and mend our hard, sinful, broken hearts and unite us again with the Father. And he promises he will do the same for creation when he makes all things new. How does he do that? Let's look at the end of verse 20. Making peace by the blood of his cross. Because of our sin, there's no peace between God and humans. There's only judgment. But God's perfect justice and his perfect mercy meet at the cross of Jesus. His perfect blood was shed on our behalf. Our fatal sin is washed away with saving grace. So instead of judgment, which we deserve this morning, we can receive what is probably in Paul's mind the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. We can receive wholeness. We can receive complete restoration with God, completely unified with him again. And because we are the church of Jesus, we can be completely unified to one another again through Jesus. The supremacy of Jesus, the King of all creation, is not just found in his infinite power. It's found in his infinite and his intimate love, humility, sacrifice, and compassion that he displayed on us when he died on a cross. And through all of it, Paul would tell us the glory and the supremacy of the crucified and risen King Jesus reigns. So let's respond this morning to God's word. I have three responses for you. The first is this. If you're living like you are the king of your life, and you've never recognized Jesus as the crucified and risen king, then you're living in foolish and rebellious sin. And it's foolish because you aren't the true king. Your very existence is in his hands, and judgment for your sin before his throne will come, and you will bow before him and that judgment. But it's also foolish because he loves you dearly. He shed his blood for you, literally pouring out his affections for you on the cross that you could be saved, that you would not have to face judgment. You could meet his affections for you for all eternity to be made a new creation. So I plead with you, if that's the case for you this morning, repent. Repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and surrender your life to follow him as your king. Let Jesus have supremacy over your life. The second response this morning for those of us who are followers of Jesus is this. We need to surrender once again in awe and humility and affection to the supremacy of Jesus. Dennis challenged us with this last week. This isn't something we can take a few moments today in the sermon or after the sermon to respond to and expect that to carry us for a lifetime. This is a daily response that we need to daily respond in Jesus to Jesus in awe and humility, recognizing him as the king of all creation. We must daily confess the sin that draws our hearts and our lives away from him and from his rule and from his reign. We must daily offer our lives as a sacrifice to him in surrender and affection, for the supreme king has shown each of us supreme love, grace, and mercy. Let's once again this morning submit ourselves to the supremacy of Jesus in our lives. And the third response is this. Make the supremacy of Jesus the anchor for your faith. I like to be in control. Or at least I like to think that I'm in control. I feel like all of us in this room can relate to that in some way or another. But when we face difficult times, when following Jesus is hard, and it will be, when we're surrounded by sin, darkness, even death, we find we're not in control. And we can even doubt if Jesus is in control as well. Paul would tell us the supremacy of Jesus reigns. He's sovereign over every moment of our lives, even the darkest ones. But brothers and sisters, he's not sovereign. He's not just sovereign over our hardships and our griefs. He's embraced them. He's known them and experienced them intimately himself. He is with us in every way. The intimate supremacy of Jesus is the sure and steady anchor of our faith. Take heart. He will not fail. These are just some of the responses that I have before you. Maybe the Spirit of Jesus is at work in you right now, bringing other responses to your heart. But may our unified response this morning be this: all honor and praise be to Jesus, the crucified and risen King of all creation. May his glory and supremacy reign in us. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for the supremacy of Jesus to be at work in my heart and at work in the hearts of your people, whether gathered here or over the live stream, that you would awaken our hearts and refresh our hearts anew by the glory, the supremacy of Jesus. That you are all powerful, King Jesus. You own all rights and privileges over all creation. And yet you emptied yourself to become one of us, to live with us, to die for us, to rise again from the dead, that you might be preeminent over all things, and that we might join you as heirs of a new creation that you have begun. So I pray, Father, move in the hearts of those who don't know Jesus, who have not recognized his rule and reign. Draw them to the beauty of the supremacy of Jesus. I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would ground our lives in his supremacy, that we would surrender to it daily, that we would make your supremacy, King Jesus, the anchor of our faith that will keep us steady and sure to the end. And I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. We love you. Amen.